I wonder, do you ever ask questions? When you ask questions, to whom do you address your questions? Do you ever ask questions to God? If you do ask questions to God, what do your questions say about you? When we ask questions, oftentimes we are asking questions because we want to get information from another person or perhaps even about another person. But many times the way we phrase our questions reveals a huge amount about what is in our own hearts. The questions we ask reveal the state of our own hearts. And of course, there are many kinds of questions, yeah? The ones that start with the word who or what, why, when, where, or how. What do these questions reveal about our own hearts and our own situations? Today we are going to meet two people who both ask a how question. And there's no prizes for guessing who these two people are. We're talking about Zechariah and we're talking about Mary. They both address their questions to the same being. They both address their questions to the angel Gabriel. But they both receive very different answers. So we're going to be in Luke's Gospel this morning. The reference is on the screen for you there. We're going to start in chapter 1 at verse 5. Let's read together. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." How do you respond to this passage of Scripture? This is wonderful news for Zechariah and Elizabeth. This is a miracle for Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are described as both very old. They weren't just getting on a bit. They were both very old. This is even more of a miracle for Elizabeth, who has never been able to conceive. So it's great news for their family, but it's also great news for the people of Israel too, because their son John will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Their son John will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, with a purpose to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is great news, and their son will be very significant. Put it another way, there are some big changes around the corner for Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are going to go from having no children to having a very significant son. But remember, when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. And I think that we too would have reacted in the same way if we had been greeted by an angel. I see Jill's nodding there, so some agreement now. I think we would all be terrified if we met an angel. And with that in mind, bearing in mind that this happened very, very quickly, he doesn't have a lot of time to think, but bearing in mind that, let's look at the question that he asks of the angel. Verse 18 tells us, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years." How can I be sure of this? Now let me ask you, please, how do you feel about this question? How can I be sure of this? I want you to answer honestly. Does it seem to be a question rooted in faith, or does it seem to be a question born out of doubt? Rooted in faith or born out of doubt? Let's do a straw poll. Rooted in faith, raise your hands, please. Born out of doubt, raise your hands, please. Okay. We agreed on that then, yeah? Someone prayed about that we might agree on things in church, so there you go. Now, let me just say, of course, I'm not convinced that we would have done any better if we had been in Zechariah's situation. I always think that's important. We should not judge people in the Bible, you know? This is a spur-of-the-moment decision. Zechariah meets the angel. He gets this news he's never been expecting, and he asks the question. But maybe at times, you see, maybe we have situations, spur-of-the-moment situations, and the way we react illustrates something of what's in our hearts. So it's right that we ask this question. Does it seem to be a question rooted in faith or a question born out of doubt? And I think you'll find that Scripture backs up what you all thought when you raised your hands. Let's move on. Let's see how the angel Gabriel responded to Zechariah's question. In verse 19, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Does this confirm what we asked earlier? Was Zechariah's question rooted in faith or born out of doubt? Well, the angel clarifies for us. Now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. Why? Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Now it seems, you see, it seems that Zechariah at this moment, and remember it was a spur of the moment, but it seems that he was focusing more on the magnitude of his own problems, he and Elizabeth, focusing more on the magnitude of their problems than on the magnificence of our God and Saviour. And I wonder, do we at times fall into the same trap? Do we at times become so gloomy because we are focusing more on the magnitude of our problems, the problems within our families, the problems of those we love? Do we sometimes focus more on the magnitude of the problems than on the magnificence of our God and our Saviour? Do we concentrate at times more on what we cannot do rather than believing what God can do? And if that's true, then we perhaps need to ask another question. Why might we at times concentrate on what we cannot do rather than believing what God can do? And if we're talking about Zechariah, why might Zechariah have concentrated on what he and Elizabeth could not do rather than believing what God will do? And you know, I saw this on the news channels that I look at on my phone recently. This word decline. Any of you come across this word decline? People talking about the nation in decline. Have you come across that quite a lot recently? Yeah. What about it if we feel that everything is in decline? How easy is it for us to believe in the Word of God when we are feeling that everything is in decline? Do you at times feel that everything is in decline? Not just on the national stage, not just in the political sphere, but in all areas of life. Do you ever feel that everything is in decline? Many of us are getting older. Well, of course, in fact, we're all getting older, but some of us are further along the line of getting older. And as we get older, we may be aware that our health is in decline. I think even Rob's beginning to realize he's not quite as young and strong as he used to be. We are getting older. Those who are younger, well, you don't need me to tell you, you will get older too. And, you know, it's part of the human experience. As we get older, our health is in decline. You were looking around at each other to see if people are getting older. Well, have another look around. Because look at the church now. You see, let's be honest. The church here in Great Holland's Free Church, we're not as big as we used to be. You don't need me to tell you that. And if any of you are aware of the situation of churches around the nation, you'll know that there are many, many churches in our nation today that are not as big as they used to be. And so it's possible that we can start to feel that our own health is in decline. Also our church, we can feel it's in decline. Those who have served the church for many years may feel exhausted. The work that was a joy 20 years ago might become somewhat more monotonous now. Something of a burden even. And if we're saying, you know, we may feel in decline as individuals as we get older. We may feel that our church is in decline. We may also feel that our nation is in decline. Some of you will say that our nation is not what it used to be. And many of us are fed up with the current government. You say, I hear you say, you're fed up with the current government, but you're probably fed up with the government before them as well. And the one before them, which is the one we've got now, you know? It may be that we feel, yeah, things are not being done the way they ought to be. We feel that our nation is in decline also. Is this touching a nerve with anyone? Is this? Can you relate to what I'm talking about? Yeah. What about Zechariah and Elizabeth? Do you think that Zechariah may have felt like that too? And could this somehow give us a hint as to why he may have asked his question? Remember his question. That seems to be rooted in doubt. Well, let's apply those three things that we've applied to ourselves. Let's apply them now to Zechariah and Elizabeth. First of all, age and health. Well, he and Elizabeth, the Bible describes them as both very old. And they may well have had age-related health issues. They may have felt that their bodies were in decline. We talked about our own health, yeah? Then we talked about the state of our church. Well, there's a very similar parallel when we look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. You see, the religious life of Israel was also in decline at the time of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Do you know it was 424 years since the word of the Lord had been delivered by the prophet Malachi? And as far as we know from our Bible, there had been 424 years with not much happening within the religious life of Israel. 424 years. Is that a long time? Can you see why people might have felt that things were in decline? But God is about to do something and it's just around the corner if only people will grab hold of it and believe. Do you see how dangerous this idea of this feeling of decline, how dangerous it is if it then means that when God does speak, we're not ready to hear or we're not ready to believe. Yes. There were what you might call the new kids on the block. The Pharisees had gained power over perhaps the last 150 years or so. But as you know, the Pharisees, well, they focused more on outward appearance and traditions of men than really the heart of God. And of course, it may well be that Zechariah, if he was very old and he'd been a priest for much of his life, most of his life, all of his adult life perhaps, it may well be that Zechariah's work in the temple had become somewhat wearisome to him, somewhat monotonous to him. Do you see how the situation of Zechariah and Elizabeth relates to our situation today? And then, of course, also the nation of Israel. was also in decline. We've talked about our nation being in decline, but their nation was in decline too. It was now over 500 years since the temple had been rebuilt, but now the nation of Israel was under Roman occupation. And so for Zechariah and for us in our generation, when we feel that everything is in decline, it is all too easy to focus more on the magnitude of our problems than on the magnificence of our God and Savior. And then when God does speak to us, the risk is that we will ask questions that are born out of doubt rather than questions that are rooted in faith. Maybe that is what happened to Zechariah. I say maybe because we don't know, but I'm just saying maybe. And maybe that is what happens to us. I'm not really sure about Zechariah, but I'm pretty sure about us. There's a real danger that if we feel that everything is in decline, then when God does speak to us, it's all too easy for us to focus more on the magnitude of our problems than on the magnificence of our God and Savior. And here's the thing. Let's not forget this. Zechariah asked a question. Did he get an answer to his question? Oh yes, he got an answer to his question. He asked the question, how can I be sure of this? He wanted proof. And he got proof. You know the proof he got, yeah? He was unable to speak until the baby was born and given the name John. Just as the angel had said. Now, this is just a little aside, but I noticed this as I was preparing. It wasn't just that he would be silent until the baby was born, but he'd been told, and you will call him John. And what you notice, he remained silent, not until the baby's born, but until he asks for that tablet, yeah? And says, his name is John. So we've met the first of our two people who asked a how question. We've met Zechariah. And in a moment we will meet the second person, Mary, who also asked her own how question. But I guess you're thinking, hang on a minute, you've left Zechariah in the temple. Does he get home safely? Well, let's just read the next few verses just to clarify that. So in verse 21, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Let's now move on to Mary. Verse 26. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, there are many similarities in the account of Zechariah and the account of Mary. Both of them were visited by the same angel, Angel Gabriel. Both were promised a baby boy. Both were told great things about their baby to be. And both are going to receive their son as a sovereign work of God, as a miracle. Elizabeth's baby will be a miracle because she is very old and past the age of having children. But in Mary's case, she needs to ask her question, her how question, to get clarity that this baby will be the result of a miracle. And unlike Zechariah, she does not ask, how can I be sure of this? Instead, she asks, how will this be? How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Now, if we are going to give Mary's question the same analysis as Zechariah's question, we need to ask, how do you feel about Mary's question? Does it seem to be a question rooted in faith, or does it seem to be a question born out of doubt? Let's do the straw poll again. Rooted in faith, raise your hands. Okay. Born out of doubt, raise your hands. Ooh, you're half and half, aren't you? Okay. Well, honestly, I wrote my notes before we did the straw poll, so I'm going to carry on anyway. So no favoritism here, okay? I have to say, I think it's a question rooted in faith. She is not asking for proof. She is not doubting the angel's words. She's simply asking, how will this be since I am a virgin? She's not asking for proof. She's just asking for a few more details. Think of it this way. There are two things that she knows and one thing that she does not yet understand. Two things she knows, one thing she doesn't yet understand. What's the first thing that she knows? She knows that she is a virgin. Well done, Rob. Number two, she knows that virgins never get pregnant. They're the two things she knows. What she doesn't understand yet is how she, as a virgin, will become pregnant. And for that reason, I say that with a heart full of faith, she asks a very justifiable question. Simply put, she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? And she receives a wonderful and a gracious answer. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Is this wonderful, my friends? Is this wonderful news? It is truly wonderful. And just look at what Mary says next. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Think about Mary at this point. Mary is so humble. She is so ready to believe God. She makes herself so available to serve God. And she is so willing for the word of God to be fulfilled in her life. Now, I have to be honest, guys. If one of you was to send me an email tomorrow saying that God has told you that you are going to be just like Mary and give birth to the Messiah, then I would know that you are deluded. Amen? But what if, on the other hand, we were to pray and to ask the Lord to give us the same faith that Mary had? What about that? What about asking God to make us humble just like Mary was so humble? What about asking God to make us ready to believe God just in the way that Mary believed God? What about asking God to help us to make ourselves available to serve God in the same way that Mary made herself available to serve God? What about asking God to make us so willing for the word of God to be fulfilled in our lives in the way that Mary was so willing? What about us saying, may your word I've lost it. May your words to me be fulfilled. If we were to pray like that, then I would suggest that that prayer would be a prayer that is rooted in faith and not born out of doubt. And what about worshipping God the way that Mary did? Let's pick up the narrative in verse 39 and we will get to Mary's song. So after the angel had left her, we read in verse 39, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" And we end with these beautiful words. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Amen.